Blog Talk Radio.
Questions, things that may be on your mind. that you would like to bring to the table so we can discuss in the brief moment that we had before the brother arrives? No? Second? Amen. Hallelujah. But Ken Aliyah said he's just thankful to be here today, as we all should be thankful.
Creating man.
Mm-hmm.
And it says that he caused Adam to go into a
deep
sleep.
Right.
And then closed up his flesh and then made the woman.
Right.
Did he also make the woman out of the dust of the ground?
Well, the woman came from as a byproduct, yes. Because if Adam came from the dust of the ground and the woman came from the man, then the woman also came from the dust of the ground. As is evident when any person dies, male or female, from dust we came, to dust we shall return. So, yes, to answer your question. Any other questions? Well, speaking of which, since you mentioned the creation, one of the things that will be coming up shortly, once time rolls around, most high willing, we will be talking about the structure of the family, and we're going to be getting into a few things so that we can all better understand exactly what it is that the Most High is doing with the establishment of the family, from the man being the husband and father, the woman being the wife and mother, to the roles of the brother or the sister or the son and the daughter. We're going to look at them from the Hebraic perspective so that we can get a better understanding of what exactly it is the Most High entails when he talks about the family. Another thing coming down the pike is getting into what we're talking about today, back theme, so to speak, with Torah 101 that Brother Dale Wilde is going to be talking about. And the whole purpose is so that we can be refreshed more than anything with the Torah. And as I mentioned before, we have been out of the Torah, so to speak, for quite some time now, you know, because we've gone through, you know, several other books of the Bible. But it's a good time for us to revisit that. That's what we're going to be doing, from my understanding, from a Hebrew point of view, starts back up. Brother Arial has some things that he'll be going through in regard to Hebrew culture to bring us back to where we need to be, as well as, you know, what we're doing right now. From my understanding, Brother Dale Wilde, he'll be talking about what are the Holy Scriptures. So I'll put that question out to you all to generate some responses until the brother gets here. What are the Holy Scriptures? When you think about it, when you take that into consideration, what are some of your views, some of your thoughts, your insights? What are the Holy Scriptures? And speak up. I'm not sure if everybody is able to hear because I have this on the microphone here.
It's Yah's divine word to mankind.
Okay. Yah's divine word to mankind. Amen. Why do we believe it necessary for the Most High to give his divine word to humanity? What's the significance of it?
To develop it.
Okay.
To being, amen, a righteous man.
Okay. Mm-hmm. To assist in man's development to become righteous. Okay. And what when we say righteous, what does that mean? I see you. Did you just read that? Go ahead. Okay. Righteousness in the sense of being in right standing with the Most High, brother?
It's in the sense of once that spirit comes from the Father and enters into the womb, like it's a guideline to get back to the Father. Because once you enter into that womb,
okay,
it's like, so to say, all hell breaks out for that flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And for that flesh to get back, and what you just said, like him,
mm-hmm,
right standing, righteousness with the Father, you need that guideline or that path or that, that was short, that straight and narrow path to get back. Because without it, you're not getting back there.
Okay. And I just got another response. How to have a proper relationship with the Creator. You know, so there's several different things when you look at the word, and that's one of the things that we, I believe, are learning when it comes to the nuances of the Holy Scripture. There's not just one definitive answer. Because we think about the Most High and how he has revealed himself, going back to Genesis 1:1, bear the sheep, bara, Elohim. When we think about the whole concept of Elohim being a plurality, many people have this idea that the Creator is just this one thing, and this one thing, and that's it. So all you can make of it. But when you use the term Elohim, what that does, that opens up the door. But even going through, for example, the fruit of the Spirit. You know, when you think about the fruit of the Spirit, the basis of it, of course, is love. But what does love entail? And then you get into the breakdown of everything that follows. You see, like we were talking about, I believe, self-control last night, you know, and how that plays a part. What we're being shown by being given the word, we're being given several facets of the Most High. Because when you even look at something that the brother was talking about last week in regard to the question, who is God? When we think about the Most High, of course we have the personal name. But throughout the Holy Scriptures, we're given not just the personal name, we're introduced to the Most High by way of a title, Elohim. That's a title. So one of the things that he wants us to recognize about himself is that he consists of powers, plural. Even when you look at the world today, there are different forms of power. You know, interesting, I was at work, and one of my colleagues, he said that he saw a video on the news where there was a brother on a bus, and he had one of those e-cigarettes, right? And the e-cigarette actually exploded in his pocket. And they, of course, you know, the buses have cameras now, so all of that was recorded. But after that story came on, he was showing it to me. Come to find out, between 2009 and now, there have been, I believe, 134 cases where these e-cigarettes have exploded. You know, and I'm saying that to show the reason behind it is the type of battery that it is. Well, that battery is only one form of power. There are several other forms of power that we can use in our world today. So even looking at it from a physical standpoint, there are various outlets that we can utilize so that we can get some type of power. When you think about wind energy, the purpose of the windmills, when you think about water energy, the ebb and flow of the water actually creates power. In all these different aspects, so there are a multitude of sources we can use for power. This is the same thing that the Most High is showing by using and introducing us to himself by saying Elohim, powers, mighty ones. You see, when you look at the term Adonai, for example, another title of the Most High. And what's interesting about that, you have some people who refuse to use that. And the reason why, say it again. Okay, there's a false or a pagan deity called Adonis, which is a derivative of Adonai. So because you have this false deity utilizing a title that the Most High inspired to be connected with him, people, what I see when I hear people say that, there's a portion of the word that they refuse to acknowledge. Think about that. When you have a brother who refuses to use the term Amen because they think that it's a call to an Egyptian deity, well, the Most High inspired this word to be written. In several places in the word, you find this term Amen being used. So why would we prohibit some portion of the word to not be used all because the adversary has corrupted it? Think about that. You know? Just because the adversary corrupted it. And that's what we see happening. So when the Most High introduces himself, we understand he has that personal name, but he also shows us that he has different titles, Yahweh Shalom. What does that mean? See? He wants us to recognize that when it comes to peace, or when, and even when we think about peace, the word actually more or less should be defined as well-being, you know, which in our language, of course, we use the word peace to represent. And before I even say that, when you say the word peace, what comes to your mind? When you think about peace according to our English language. When somebody says, for example, they want peace and quiet, what are they asking for?
Disturbance.
So when we look at peace, we look at it, as I can say, being an opposite of something that's chaotic. You remember when the Messiah was asleep on a boat and they were in the waters, and the scripture describes the waters to some degree as being chaotic. And what did he say when he rose up? He said, peace. So he brought some sense of calm back to it. Well, when we are at peace, or when we have well-being, that means that, for example, something that I learned years ago, and I believe some of you also learned the same thing. Contrary to what modern Judaism says, you look in a lot of the modern Hebrew books, they say shalom means hello or goodbye. Shalom doesn't mean hello or goodbye. And we were taught years ago, it's not always good to bid shalom to everybody. Because what we don't realize, see, back during the ancient times, there was a power in languages. There could possibly be a working on an individual, chaotic even, where their body isn't in well-being. And it's according to the will of the Most High. So why would we bid that person peace when it goes contrary to what the will of the Most High is for that individual? During that time, the Most High needs that person to experience whatever the chaos they're going through that prevents them from experiencing a well-being, so that they at some point can come to learn whatever he's trying to teach them. Look at Job, for example. Job is a perfect example about somebody going through difficulties that no matter what his friends told him, it wasn't going to help. And actually, when you go through the whole story, it comes to a breaking point where Job kind of lets really his out the bag. And we see that Job wasn't this righteous man as we thought he was. Rather, he was self-righteous because he thought of himself put himself on a pedestal, and he looked down on everybody else. But we don't get that until we read through the whole story and we finally see all of this coming out. Well, now we realize the Most High was trying to save this brother by allowing the chaos and allowing the calamity to befall him. It was able to bring something up from this brother that he was actually keeping concealed. So when we go through a lot of chaos, when we go through a lot of calamity, at the end of it all, it's so that we can recognize that Yahweh is Shalom. So that's one of the titles that he uses to identify himself. You know, when we want well-being, that means that we have to be in accord with the Holy Scriptures, as you say, which was his divine word given to man, so that we can better that relationship. Go ahead, I can't wait to go.
Thank you, Adam. With all power Daniel had to do, and Daniel what he did, he would never came to the understanding of what peace was or well-being was. He didn't know.
Exactly.
He didn't know, so chaos had to come in just so he could see the difference.
Exactly.
Or experience the difference, didn't know I always had it shalom.
Exactly.
And just didn't realize it.
Exactly. And yes, sir.
Helper,
yes.
That's suitable.
Right.
So that must mean something.
Absolutely.
Think about what that can
be. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know? And we look at that, I mean, mankind has corrupted that whole relationship. And we're going to actually get into that when we get into the breakdown of the family and everything. But man corrupted that. You know, I was thinking about, so I was watching a documentary. I like to watch different documentaries. And one of the things that we look at when we see certain, depending on what it was, and this one I'm referring to, it was about the 60s. And one of the things that we see, and we're looking at it with the quote-unquote third eye at this point, looking back, like they say, hindsight is 20/20. So when you see certain things taking place, now you realize why the world is at the state it is right now. Because, see, a lot of firsts happened during the time of the 60s that didn't occur. And it had an impact on society to the point where we result in what we see in the world today. You know, but let me, I'm going to stop right here. I don't want to hold the moray up any longer. So, moray?
I was holding y'all up.
Pass this on to you. And you can just let that. Just let that hang.
Okay.
Your microphone. Okay. Toda Key. First and foremost, you know, my apologies for being late. So, last week we started talking about foundational, just basic principles. Basic principles of scripture, you know, getting us a strong foundation again. And shalom family, sorry about that. Might have forgot my manners. They were late too. Last week we looked at what is God, and we looked through the scriptures and we saw what God was, different aspects of him, him being spirit, him imparting influence onto man, he having wisdom and all kinds of stuff like that. So, this week we're going to talk about what is Holy Scripture. So, when you think about Holy Scripture, what is it? What makes up the Holy Scripture? What is Holy Scripture?
Yah's divine word.
Yah's divine word. Anybody else? Part of him? Listen.
Ariel said, it's the embodiment of his sanctity. That's what his sanctity, his cleanness, his set apart, that it's now been offered to man. To get them to that place so they can have a relationship.
This is sanctity that's been offered to man and a way to have a relationship with him. Anybody else?
Way of life.
So, all those things are true, and we find all those different things within the Holy Scriptures. You know? So, let's start off in the book of Romans, chapter 15, verse 4. All right. Romans, chapter 15, verse 4. It reads, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. So, aspect of the Holy Scripture. One, it was written for us. Two, it was written for our learning. So, the scriptures are a learning tool. Take that into consideration what we talked about last week with the wisdom that he imparted on Bezalel. I might be saying his name wrong, but the influence that he imparted on him to give him wisdom in making stuff, you know. So this is the way he imparts his wisdom to us, all right? Now, in the book of Daniel, the 10th chapter, we're going to read something. We're going to read the whole chapter. Daniel chapter 10, starting at verse 1. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing, and he had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks.
I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till three whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the four and twentieth day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lift up my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded up, were girded with fine gold of Euphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore, I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. So he was fasting, so he saw a vision, and this vision was so strong that it took the strength out of him. He was scared. Verse 9, yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face towards the ground. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hand. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before your mighty one, thy words were heard, and I am come to thy words. I am come for thy words. Now, this is a real interesting verse right here. See, because when you look up the word chasten thyself, that word is anah, and it means in the Hebrew. We're not going to get into all the whole thing about the Hebrew, but it's number 6031, and it's anah, and it means to depress, literally, to depress or figuratively to browbeat, to depress. But another definition of it is to be occupied with or to be busied with. So this is what Daniel was doing with his word. He was occupied with his word. He set his heart to understand this word, and he occupied himself with that word. He was being busy with the word. And an answer came, right, in the form of this vision. And look how this way he was addressed. Daniel, greatly beloved. You were greatly beloved. From day one, I'm coming to tell you something about these things that you're reading, right? This stuff that you're being occupied with, right? Verse 13, he said, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me in 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake, and said unto him that stood before me, O my master, by the vision, my stars are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my master talk with this my master? For as for me, straightway there remaineth no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. So he's still shook by everything that he's being shown, right? Verse 18. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me and said, O man, greatly beloved. That's the second time he said that about Daniel. O man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto you. Peace be unto thee. Be strong. Yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, Let my master speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I come unto you, come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Greece shall come. Verse 21. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth with me in these things, but Michael, your prince. Now, verse 21, he says, one, the scriptures are true, but he also calls them notes. So why would he call them notes? What do you take notes for? Amen. You know, Yaka'el on his show says, hey, y'all, bring y'all Bibles, get a pen and a pad, take notes. And what's the last part you say? Why you say take the notes? So you can go through it at your convenience. Same thing we read in the first scripture, Romans 15:4. For those things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, that through patience we might have hope. We might know what's coming, because the word hope means an expectation. These are things that we are expecting. So what the Most High did was jotted down little stuff that he wanted us to know. He didn't write everything that happened with man. He just jotted down stuff that he wanted to know. He was taking notes on man. And some of the notes that he took on man is that our minds are evil constantly. How we don't want to do right, how we disobey. But there were some good notes too. Noah found grace in my eyes. Abraham was my friend. Elijah, who stands, you know, it was good notes and it was bad notes. But they were notes, you know. So this is basically Yahweh's diary, for a better term, on his creation. All right? Any questions so far or comments? All right. Let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 17. And sorry, everybody who's listening by over the internet, can't cut y'all in the date. Book of Acts. Chapter 17, starting at verse 11. So we just read that in the vision that Daniel had, the first thing that he said, starting off in verse 1 in chapter 10, he said he had a vision, he was understanding some stuff, and that it was true. Then he came down a little bit further, and the man in the vision told him these things that was going to come at a later date. So in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, he said, These are more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. So Daniel was studying the word. People in Thessalonica were studying the word. Why? They wanted to see if they were true. This is what he's saying. See whether these things were so. Seeing if he's telling the truth. So, the scriptures are also a study tool. So, the Most High took these notes, took these notes, wrote them down, and he wants us to study what he saw for us. It's a study tool. Because one of the things that we talked about, this is not the history of the world. This is the history of man. So he wants us to study ourselves and find out things about ourselves that we might not see about ourselves. Right? Any questions or comments so far? Oh, I forgot. Verse 12 with that. Sorry. So he says, those that were more noble, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Verse 12. Therefore, many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. So because they searched these scriptures and found out that they were true, they believed it. What is there not to believe when you find out something is true? If the Most High says, okay, clouds get full, and then they overflow after they get full, and then you find out it's true, why shouldn't you believe? He says there's a dome. The earth is shaped like a dome. Then you found out it's true, why shouldn't you believe it? That's what we have to do. So we found out it's a study tool, and it's his notes. We'll go to 2 Peter, verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. All right. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. It reads, knowing this verse, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So, scripture is also prophecy. And the word prophecy means something told before it happened, a foretelling, as they say. So if this is a foretelling of something and it's also the truth, then that means something has to happen to make it truth. Let's go to John 19:24, and we're going to just look at one or two. John 19:24. They said, therefore, among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, because it was a prophecy. So now you see a fulfillment of something that was told before. He said that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. So now we see that a study tool that he wants to show is true, and he's going to show us some stuff that's going to come true to prove that it's true. So the scriptures is also prophecy, a foretelling of something. In the book of Luke, chapter 24, verse 25. Any questions so far? Or comments? Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. And the division in Acts 15 with the food and all that.
Yeah.
He said it had to come to you. He said, a man going to come to you. Wake up. That's what that vision for. It ain't about no food.
That's right.
Anything you need to know is true. If you want to know you're doing something right or wrong, go in there.
That's right.
Or you don't believe.
Or you don't believe. All right. Now let's read what Luke 24:25. He said, then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Messiah to have suffered these things to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning him. So they was trying to get him not to do a thing. And what he said, you don't believe the prophets if you're trying to get me to not do this. Your hearts are slow. You have to believe all the prophets says. And don't the prophets say I got to go through this? So what did you just say? They don't believe the scriptures when they say these things. So what did he do? He went to the scriptures to rebuke them and reprove them and this, that, and another, which was on my paper, and it's cool because it's all good. We know how Yahweh works. But that's how it goes, you know. So we have to believe all these things that was concerning him, all right? Any questions or comments? All right. Now, in the book of James, chapter 4, verse 5, another little note that he picked up on us. He says, do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? So, this is something that Yahweh took note of us, right? And it says that we're supposed to search the scriptures to find out whether this is true. So, in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, verse 4. We're going to start, we'll start at verse 1, down to 4. Yes, chapter 4, Ecclesiastes. I always pronounce that word wrong. Chapter 4, starting at verse 1. He says, so I returned and considered all the oppressions that are done under the sun, and behold the tears of such as were oppressed, and they had no comforter. And on the side of their oppressors there was power, but they had no comforter. Wherefore I praise the dead, which are already dead, more than the living, which are yet alive. Better is he than both they, which have not yet been, who have not seen the evil work that is done under the sun. Again, I considered all travail and every right work, that for this a man is envied of his neighbor. This is also vanity and vexation of spirit. So this is what James was talking about. Every time you do something right with the word of the Most High, people hate you for it. They're envious of it. They're envious of you. It makes their works evil. It makes them see their works. It makes them see their faults. It makes them see what they're doing wrong. Because when you follow the words of the Most High and you prove that he's true, it's sort of like that movie you sent, the Atheist Delusion. When this man
went out and he asked some simple questions. Those questions were quite simple. And throughout the movie, and all these people that he asked them to were atheists. And throughout the movie, the atheist admitted, well, yeah, there has to be a higher power. But then he said, well, will you believe him? Nah, I'm going to just still be an atheist. It brings about an envy. You know, it brings about a vexation of their spirit. And it brings about a vexation in your spirit, too, because you're going, man, I can't believe this one. You know? But there's an effect that's going on. Which now brings us to 2 Timothy chapter 3, 15 through 17. So, you know, we know that was Solomon. And he went out in Ecclesiastes, and he experienced all that you can experience. Second Timothy chapter 3, starting at verse 15. It reads, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Yahushua HaMashiach. All scripture is given by inspiration of Yah, profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of Yah may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So, as we're studying his notes on us, we should be, it's good for us to use this as doctrine, as lessons. It's profitable. It's a gain for us. It's a gain for us to correct ourselves, reproof. I mean, well, reproof is to prove again, because this is already the truth. So prove it again. That's one of the things that he's saying to us. Prove me. I've already proved myself, and others have proved me. So now it's your turn to prove me. Reproof. Reprove. You know? Correction. Correcting ourselves. Instructing ourselves in righteousness. So if there's instructions in righteousness, there must be some instructions in unrighteousness. As our brother was talking about yesterday, do what you want to do. Love your belly. Your desire is your belly. Your God is your belly. Do what you want to do instead of doing what the mighty one who created you do. Whose inspiration are you listening to? You know, who is influencing you? Where do you stand? What side of the coin are you on, so to speak? You know, where do you stand? So, any questions or comments? And again, he's making a perfect man. He's perfecting man, leaving us, like you said yesterday, without an excuse. He's fully furnishing, making us whole. That's what the end product is supposed to be when we study the word, correct ourselves by the word, you know, go over his notes. Go ahead, Aki.
That your good work would shine forth and bring glory to the Father. Like you said, when you're doing something right, person will get mad. They get happy. Thank you so right. I'm saying you personally. And one John even come. When he said, word was flesh, flesh the word. Darkness, the light came. It wasn't the light, but it was a representative of the light. He said, and the darkness didn't come in or not. He said, but I give them power. Sons and daughters that believe in this light representative or the light bearer, light bearer. Like you said, it's true, it's proven itself right there because people do get mad. Like yesterday at a party or something. You take the pork out of his brain. I could, but I ain't. Just eat and won't hurt you. I made you a plate, now you ain't making no plate.
That's right. Not with that on it.
That's right. Anybody else?
You make people go to genetic. That's only my will that departs. I don't need this.
Well, they got to know. They got to know. My manager gave out Christmas cards, everything, and you know, I took the Christmas card. I didn't want to be rude, but I didn't read the card, and she gave him our hands out, and she opened up the card, and on the card, the card said, give a little bit of Jesus to everybody. This Christmas. I said, give a little bit of Jesus. But she apologized to me. What she said, Hurley, I apologize. I thought about it afterwards. But what she wanted, she didn't want to make me feel like I was not included, you know. It's perfectly fine if I'm not included. That's good, you know, but I'm not going to cause an issue or disrespect you. It's one of those, because one, it's a card, you know. It's not like, well, Hurley, I made you this big plate of ham right here, like the brother was saying. I got this foul ham for you. Go ahead and eat it. No. You know, it's certain things where, let me get Eliezer, then you, Aki, first.
Yeah, Brother Steve, the Purple Vine Restaurant, in the white book we did last night, at the meal and all, was some beef and Maccabees on that, on what really happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, while we shouldn't even be born to assimilate anything like what colonization is.
Mm-hmm.
It's talking about the priest Eliezer, and the woman with the seven sons,
mm-hmm.
and stuff, all these people who'd rather die than eat the unclean thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's the attitude of the brother. You know,
right.
He scripts it up. Well, I don't eat that.
See, the reason why I took the card is this. The owners of the company gave a card too. And it had $30 in it, 30 gift cards. So how would I look? Now, ain't nobody get mad about that. Ain't nobody say, oh, well, you know, this is this, that, and another. They gave us $30 gift cards to shop there. You know, they got their money back because it was a gift card. it was a gift card for their store, so they got their money back. That's how you do that. That's how you work that thing. But ain't nobody say, oh, no, my religion don't say I can take this card and this, that, and another. You know, and they Jews. They don't even celebrate Christmas, you know. But, you know, so how would I look? Okay, well, you took that, and then you took that. Now you're being hypocritical because that candy cane that she gave me, I ain't eat it yet, but it looked good. It's just a candy cane. That's it, you know. And when they go on sale, I'm going to buy some more. That's a lot.
You know, the beautiful thing about doing Yahweh's will is, like you was talking about, they take notes on you, too.
That's right.
It's like the sister said, oh, she apologized to them. I'm sure everybody in here can attest to that. You know, because last couple weeks ago, we had a friend of them. And I didn't go in. And they were like, I had to drive everybody to the front of them, but I didn't go in the door. Oh, you can't even go in the door? No, I can't go. And my other coworker, she was explaining it to them, why I can't go in.
Mm.
And then I had to go for another person. I took them to the word and showed them, look, a priest can't go to just anybody's front of them.
That's right.
That's the word. You know, you just can't go. And they take notes on your life.
That's right.
You know, other people will take up for you. Oh, no. Yesterday, because we had a Christmas party, too. Oh, hey, I'm sorry, Sean. You know, oh, we got his pork. I said, that's all right. Amen. But they take notes of your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just like Yahweh, he's taking notes of our life.
Mm-hmm.
Every idle thought is written down. Remember,
hallelujah,
the book shall be open, so
that's right.
Notes are being taken.
That's right. You know, it's, you know, how... This is a diary on man. Well, Yahweh got an individual diary on every one of us that we're going to have to account for, you know. So, yeah, and it's like what you said, reproof, correction. Now, they see this stuff, and they can explain it. Now, you got now you're going to say you ain't got no excuse.
when the Most High said, well, why wasn't you doing it? Why were you in there? Why were you, you know, they have the chance to correct their life, you know. And that's what Abba gives us through the Holy Scriptures, a chance, hope. He gives us an expectation, his expectation, you know. Go ahead, Aki. And it reads, which he had promised aforetime by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his son, Yahushua HaMashiach, our master, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. So the Holy Scriptures also had a promise in it. A promise of a son. And he said it was by his prophets that we know about it. So we already read back in Luke where he went through the prophets, starting at Moses, and read all these things according, all these things concerning him. Prophecy and fulfillment. Right? Romans 16, 25 through 26. Still concerning this promise, he says, now to him that is of the power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Yahushua HaMashiach, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the beginning of the world. So you have something that was secret that is now being revealed. So you had that secret promise that people talked about that's being revealed. What does that do? Prove that it's true. Because when that secret comes out and you can see it, in the next verse it says, but now is made manifest. Now you see it. You see this secret thing that I was telling my prophets about, that these prophets were speaking about, and now it's true to you. He said, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting mighty one, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. So you have a secret that was revealed in the Holy Scriptures, and it came to pass. So once again, not only is it being proved, but we have to reprove it. All right? Yes, sir.
I just want to ask, what did anybody get from that 16:25-26?
Go ahead.
And the text was, you know, they constantly internet people, internet, Facebook, Instagram, right? So some dude who is a Hebrew who doesn't believe in the Messiah, and the reason why he doesn't believe is he said that the Almighty, the Most High, never withholds knowledge from his people.
Mm-hmm.
And that everything that he does is revealed outright. So that's why Yahushua or Yahuasha or whatever, I mean, he was real, like, you know, condescending.
Mm-hmm.
Not be the
Messiah.
So I said, wait a minute. So I sent him three scriptures
and
said, ask him, how does he explain these? The first one, that which is revealed, that which is hidden, it belongs to me, but that which is revealed belongs to you and your son.
Mm-hmm.
And there were two other scriptures, I think, one in Ezekiel, another one in a bunch, and one in Amos. About Yahweh concealing things, especially about Yahushua, because the status quo scripture that everybody picks out are the only scriptures, and I was listening to the lesson on the way in, that prophesy about Yahushua.
Right.
It might be, like what we learned the other day, gathering the stick, I mean,
the wood.
The wood. Gathering the wood for his right, for his binding,
right,
is a prophecy about how he would carry his own execution stick.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But people don't look at that as being a messianic prophecy.
Right.
But that was in Moses' writing.
How about when Joseph gets stripped of his guard?
Huh? Yes.
Huh? Yeah.
Huh? Yeah. Huh? Yeah. Yeah. We talked about the situation with Joseph last night.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much right there in Joseph. That people just miss. Why? Because the truth of the matter is, I say 90% of the people who call themselves Hebrew don't believe in the Torah.
Man.
Don't believe in the Torah.
That's right.
All they are is knowledge whores.
And I
stand on
that. And on top of that, it has to be revealed to them.
That's right.
What did we read in Daniel? Somebody had to come along and explain something Daniel. It has to come from the north side. It's his word. He coded this stuff up. So you at war, and the words say we at war. How is it that you're going to put your battle plan out in front of the enemy and say, okay, this is what I'm going to do from here to here to here to here to here to here. The enemy knows exactly what you're going to do from here to here to here to here to here. Well, Yahweh put out a battle plan, but within it, he called it some stuff. It's not simple. It's not simple. And we're going to get to the next part of the Holy Scripture. Glad you brought that up. Did we read John chapter 5, verse 39 and 49? Oh, sorry. You know what? I cut it. Did anybody else have? But you know what? But wait, let me, because that was. What did y'all get from it? I apologize. I did cut that off.
It made me think of Yahweh said he was going to bruise her heel, but her seed was going to bruise him from days of old, when all the way back from the beginning of the garden, when he got put out of the garden, Yahweh made that promise to Adam. Bless you, her seed.
You want to say something else, Matt?
Well, let me add what everybody's saying. See, when they come out with these books called the 16 Crucified Saviors, and they try to say that, well, this image of the Messiah, well, they already said that. That's a lie. Because what we just learned right here, he said, now to him that is
of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Yahshua the Messiah according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. Nobody knew about that.
Nope.
Everything the Messiah did, everything surrounding his life was all new. What these people did, they jacked it and they included it in their history, their culture.
Their culture.
So now, as an attack on the word, they try to say, oh, this existed before. No, it did not.
Mm-hmm.
They had no knowledge of this information.
Not whatsoever.
So the Messiah actually walked the earth. So all this 16 crucified statements is a lie.
The author of the book cannot cite any sources that predated the coming of Yahushua HaMashiach. He cannot cite one source that came until after he came on the scene. He cannot. There's no ancient source that says that this existed in Egypt, that this existed in any other culture prior to that.
That's right.
A lot of the stuff that he wrote about, he made up. That's a fact.
A lot of it. And a lot of... Go ahead, Aki. Because you're going to say the same thing I'm going to say.
They mentioned to him, they said, what is this unknown God?
Right.
What is this new doctrine you're talking about?
That's right.
They didn't know. They had no knowledge of this.
Right.
So this was all brand new when the Messiah came on the scene. All this foolishness that people trying to put up in, it's a lie. Keep that in mind.
And you're talking about, and you're talking about the Grecians at that time, who were the world-ruling people at that time, who went down in Egypt, and they still didn't hear about it. It's a thing in there about talking about the Ethiopian eunuch. The Ethiopian eunuch who had a scroll of Isaiah, reading it, didn't know nothing about it. He didn't know. So it's not something that, okay, well, the Samaritans had it, and then these people had it, and then, and here it comes. No, it's not nothing like that. Nobody knew. It was kept a secret on purpose. You know, because what did he say? I'm going to do a new thing on earth. The same thing, the same way he told, what's our boy name that got the sinkhole?
Oh, yeah.
That was a new way of killing people. Right. He, Korach and Dathan, he said, if this man die the way normal people die, hey, I ain't, don't believe me. But if y'all ain't think of a new way to kill this dude, because ain't nobody die like that. Where he just fell into the earth and the earth covered it back, covered itself back up. It was new. Yahweh does these things and shows us, look, man, I'm the mighty one.
Right.
Nobody else. I'm the mighty one.
Right.
Go ahead.
Around this time, mm-hmm. if people just read the scriptures, like I was saying with the officer, mm-hmm. if you read the scriptures, you will tear Christ apart.
Yeah.
Right. You can't let nobody tell you it's in the Bible. Like, if you go through that Bible, you're going to see the only person that knows that the Messiah was born. I said, wasn't doing this yet. There's key points in that. They was out shepherding and they flopped. I said, in Jerusalem at that time, December 25th, is dead. I said, only people knew the angels told the shepherds. They got up. So I said, debunk that Christmas card. I said, they were the only ones there at that time. I said, then later on, the angel told me, you must flee. The Herod's trying to get you.
And
I said, then you see, I said, you don't know how many wise men it was just because you hit frankincense and gold.
Mm-hmm.
There could have been 300 of them carrying frankincense and gold.
That's right.
I said, but the point is, then when they came, he was a toddler.
Right.
I said, so if debunk that, if you take your time, you go through it. I said, then, and like you said, the mystery of things, how he was revealing stuff to prove that his word true. And Micah chapter 5, he said something was going to happen. And when Herod heard it from the wise men, said, we're looking for him. And Herod said, with the scrolls, they heard it, go get the scroll. Like Abel said,
mm-hmm.
he don't even believe in the scroll. But they keep him thinking it's some kind of secret formula in there. But if you don't have that spirit, that set apart spirit,
hey.
To reveal it to cool. you, he just had it. He had it. What it was, he said, open it up and he read it. And Bethlehem will be a star with a spoon.
Mm-hmm.
Said, you find out, I want to meet him too. So it's going to show, like you say, he builds pieces. At the time, he unveils more.
Right.
It's for those that have it.
Mm-hmm.
Follow the land where it goes. Like he said, if you believe it, they have that knowledge. Look at all the knowledge they kept when they seized up and burned it. They kept it secret. Rome got knowledge right now that nobody knows, and they know it's the truth.
All right. So, John 5:39. It says, search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. The funny thing about this word testify, another definition of it, it means to, you know, be a witness of. But it also means to
to conjure. Now think about when you're conjuring.
Thank you. Thank you. Ready? Falling asleep.
You got your bathroom?
Thank you. I only got the song to do for with the but we never got a chance to. That's why I have to give it back to her father.
Yeah, everybody has a problem. When y'all move,
Yeah, your mother gonna tell me.
But I know your mom.
But she won't give it to me. Okay. Tell me how you cook eggs. What you do?
I fry it and I mix
it.
I fry it.
Okay, what else you do? You mix them up? Okay. And then what? You like turkey bacon?
No. Hello, I'm back here.
How you doing?
Thank you, sir.
All right?
Good. How you doing? I just said yesterday, man. Yahweh is
blessing
me.
Hallelujah.
Praise be to Yahweh, man.
I saw that. I said I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Good cover.